All right, our injury situation. Now, Elam is not going to practice. Derek, who has not been practicing, might try to see what he can do. Flowers, who has not been practicing, might try to see what he can do. Limited, Lilja will do something limited. Barry will be limited. Kendrick Lewis is limited. Brandon Albert is limited. Tom Bahali is limited. So we'll see how they progress through the day. And so today and tomorrow, we'll see what happens with them. And then that will lead me to know who's available for the game. And so I'll take it down to Sunday morning to see what it is, if I need to. So that's my biggest concern other than the Cleveland Browns right now. And so we're going to wrap up today with their preparation for Cleveland and try to get some things done today and then get ready to travel tomorrow. So with that, I'll open it up.
Romeo, Barry left practice early yesterday. Is that right?
He was a little ill. Yeah.
But he's back today?
Yeah.
Flowers and Johnson specifically, if they don't practice today or can't do much, could they still play if in the next 48 hours or whatever? Would you be comfortable playing those two guys?
If they feel like they can play, and I will give them an opportunity to.
What's generally your philosophy about having somebody active in that situation? Like, for instance, you said you had Brandon Albert last week was active, even though you didn't really want to play him. What generally might be your philosophy?
Well,
you try to take his way off the field, and you don't want him to do that, or what's?
No, it's a matter of trust. That's what it is. All right. If I trust the player, then I make the decision, and the player proves to you over time that he's trustworthy as far as the injury situation goes, and so you do that. And really, that's the only mark is the trust.
Just so that the player doesn't say, "Hey, I can go," and then he plays one play, and then you're stuck with no player. Is that the concern there?
Well, yeah, that's the biggest concern, you know, because if you make a guy active, and then there's another guy who might be able to help the team, and the guy you make active plays one play, and then he's down. Now you got two guys that are down where you could have had a guy up who might have been able to produce some plays for you.
So Jahlil would be in Brandon's flower spot? If
yes.
And Corey would be in the middle?
Oh, of course.
Okay. Yeah. I'll get my lineup set.
Okay.
Romeo, the way you guys finished the game defensively the other day with guys like Greenwood and Hartman and Thorpe and some other younger guys playing for you, was that knowing how you feel about using younger guys? What were your thoughts at the time having those guys in the lineup for you?
Well, my thoughts were that I'm glad they were in the meetings and taking good notes and preparing themselves during the week so that they could go out there and line up and compete. And so we were finishing the game with those guys last week. We may be starting the game with those guys this week.
What's that going to be like for you?
Oh, it'd be better because they've had more reps.
Coach, could you talk a little bit about what you're seeing from the Browns' run defense? I know the dramatic improvement they made since their bye week, limiting rushing opposing rushers to under 100 run yards per game. What are you seeing from them specifically?
Well, they got a guy, DeQuell Jackson, who is very instinctive, and he finds his way to the football all the time. They are consistent up front with their technique, their gap responsibilities, and then they run to the football pretty well. And I think that has helped them, you know, become a better defensive football team.
Jackson, specifically, I mean, he's just in that division with the linebackers from Pittsburgh, linebackers from Baltimore, and he kind of gets overlooked. I mean, he's as productive a player as there is as a linebacker in the AFC.
Very instinctive, and that's the thing. That's one of the keys about him. He's very instinctive, and he's very competitive as well. And he's been that way, you know, ever since he came into the league.
What you liked about him when you guys drafted him?
Definitely. Instincts and competitiveness.
With all the things that have gone on this week, have you kept an extra special eye maybe on the guys getting, I don't know if emotionally exhausted is the right word for it, but, you know, just that their maybe focus is a little astray with all the talk they've had to do about an emotional issue, the memorial service, all that type of stuff?
Well, you know that that those things impact players. You know that I haven't noticed anybody being depressed or anything like that. And so what I try to do is I try to put the focus on football, which will help take away the focus on those other things.
All right.
Is there a...
Sorry, last one.
Sorry.
It's Adam's fault, not yours.
There's...
Yep.
Do you see, given your time you spent in Cleveland, the time that you've been here, do you see any similarities, not only just to organizationals and what history, but also the towns and what football means to both of these towns?
Well, you can definitely see the similarity in the football aspect of the pride that each of the towns take in their teams, because both towns are very strong supporters of their teams, and so that's a huge similarity right there.
They of course put all their nuts in one end zone, but. They've got the dog pound down there, and a group of people never afraid to express their opinion.
Mm-hmm.
At midfield, as the head coach, do you ever hear it?
No, generally, you don't hear it from midfield. In the old stadium, when the dog pound was closer to the field, as a defensive line coach, I had to warm my guys up at the dog pound. You know, then you got an earful, you know. At that time, they let you know what they thought about you generally.
And sometimes specifically?
Yes. Not only that, what they thought about your family as well.